Good morning. I'm so delighted to be in this wonderful place. Beautiful, beautiful place. Wow. I think this is just a little taste of heaven. But heaven is going to be so much greater and so much more beautiful. It's just hard to imagine. And this afternoon, we're going to actually talk about health. But I want to share with you this morning, it is finished. God is going to finish his work, and we all need to be a part, whether that's in health ministry, Bible study ministry, literature ministry, youth ministry, whatever ministry that you have in your church. And we'll share a little bit about the health ministry this afternoon. But this morning, we're going to talk about God finishing his work. And so we're going to talk about a man for all time, which is Jesus, and following Jesus and the finishing of the work. Jesus says in Matthew 24, 14, and this gospel, let's read it together, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So Jesus says the gospel will be preached, not may be preached, or I think it might be preached, but it will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations before the end will come. So Jesus says, gave us the Great Commission. He says in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and let's read that together. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus gave us the Great Commission, but in giving us the Great Commission, he also gave us the Great Promise. And what is the promise? Well, as Jesus was ascending high, he didn't forget his disciples. He didn't forget you and me here on this earth. And just picture this in your mind. I just want you to picture Jesus ascending to heaven. He's going up. Gravity can't hold him down. He's been on the earth for 33 and a half years. He's gone through his ministry, his childhood, his ministry. He has gone through Gethsemane. He has gone through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and spent 40 days with his disciples after that. And now he is going home, and nothing can hold him down. It is amazing. Gravity can't even hold him down. And the disciples are so amazed. They knew by this time, there was no doubt in their minds that he was the Messiah. And so they're gazing, they're looking up to heaven, and an angel stands by them and says, in Acts 1:11, let's read it, this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So Jesus gives us the great promise. He says, look, the angel says, look, the way you see Jesus going up into heaven, he is going to come back to heaven. And so he says to his disciples, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Jesus says, you are going to be my witnesses. So who does Jesus have as his witnesses? You and me, the disciples. And he says, whatever, however you can witness, if you can witness through Bible study ministry, great. If you can minister through health ministry, great. However you can minister, you're going to be my witnesses. And you see an explosive growth in the book of Acts. If you go through the entire book of Acts, you will see explosive growth. In fact, at our new center, our new school, Pastor Finley has a whole class on the entire book of Acts. It is exciting. Acts 2:41, let's read it. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So here you have an explosive growth in the book of Acts. 3,000 are added to the Christian church. And however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So just the men alone, not counting the women and the children, were about 5,000. Absolutely amazing. But let's look at Acts 6:7. Let's read it together. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. There are many that are accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And now the Christian church is growing. And as one Roman writer put it, he said, "You Christians are everywhere. You are in our armies, you're in our navies, in our Senate, and in our marketplaces. Everywhere the Christians are growing." And so we see an enormous growth. Why? Because these newborn Christians were witnessing for their Lord Jesus Christ. They knew he was coming back. They knew he was the great Messiah. And now they were taking this seriously, as we need to do today. And throughout the centuries, men and women who have believed this promise have accomplished great things for God. And one day, my friends, the work of God will be finished. One day soon, Jesus is going to come. There's no question about it. And I believe we are living in the last days of Earth's history. As we see everything taking place in our country, in our nation, as we see some of the terrorists that are prominent everywhere, just in England recently. In fact, we were on that London Bridge 2 days before that explosion. And we were on that very bridge. And we just came back from England. We just came back from Scotland. And we see that all these things are signs of the coming of Jesus. And so soon Jesus will come. And our early Adventist believers, they looked forward to the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. These Adventists, these pioneer Adventists, they were excited about the message that they were studying in their Bibles, and they were sharing the good news. You see, these early Adventists studied the Word of God. These early Adventists were excited about sharing their faith. They were praying sometimes even into the night that God would bless them and that truly they would be able to take this gospel to the entire world. And so they not only studied, they not only prayed, but they preached the Word of God. They shared the Word of God. They taught the Word of God. But the date was November 17, 1849. Just 5 years after the great disappointment. And you can only imagine how these Adventists were disappointed when Jesus didn't come October 22, 1844. And now it's 1849. And James White, who was one of our founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, early Adventist believer, was not really enthused. In fact, he was even a little discouraged, because the ratio of Adventists to the world population was approximately 1 in 500,000. How were they going to take the gospel to all the world, to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people? How was this going to be done? How were they going to take the message from this little church, from this church here in Washington, New Hampshire, out in the country, as much as you are out in the country here, and they were out in this little town in Washington, New Hampshire. How are they going to take this gospel of the kingdom to all the world? It was going to be very difficult. Well, they determined that they were going to share their faith. They were going to be those witnesses because Jesus promised that he was going to give them power, the same power that he had on earth to heal the withered man's arm, to stop the ears of the deaf, to open the eyes of the blind. He was going to give them power. They could even have the power to raise the dead as Jesus did. So he was going to give them great power. But struggling, James White struggling with faith to believe that this gospel of the kingdom would be preached in all the world, he wondered, how could we take this gospel? And so he wrote to Brother Bowles, wondering, will many ever receive the truths that were committed to Sabbatarian Adventists? Now they wondered, we have Sabbath-keeping Adventists. You see, before 1863, there were Adventists, but now we had become officially Seventh-day Adventists in 1863. And would ever we be able to take these truths that were committed to Sabbatarian Adventists? Well, a few weeks later, James White wrote back with boundless enthusiasm because his question had been answered. God had given a vision to Ellen White. Young Ellen White, these teenagers, these young people, these early Adventist believers were now going to take the gospel, but God used Ellen White as a prophet, as a modern-day prophet for Earth's last hour. And you see, my friends, there's no difference in inspiration between the Bible and the modern-day gift of prophecy. The only difference is that the Bible was written for all time, and the gift of prophecy was written for end time. And so God gave Ellen White a vision. And so he knew that truth will ring through the land and the world. Because Testimonies, Volume 6, page 24, let's read it together. The whole earth is to be illuminated with the glory of God's truth. The light is to shine to all lands and all peoples. And it is from those who have received the light that it is to shine forth. Who is to shine forth the light? Us, God's believers, you and me, all of us together. And that's why all of these ministries, whatever they are, prayer ministry, health ministry, Bible study ministry, literature ministry, youth ministries, home Bible studies, home group ministries, whatever they are to shine forth from each one of us. But there are those who have doubt whether the church is making progress in light of the growing world population. So some people say it's not possible in light of the growing population. But let's take a look at the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the membership population ratios. In 1863, the very year that the Seventh-day Adventist church was officially organized, we had one member to every 373,143. But look at the growth by 1900. One member in 21,487. But let your eyes drop down to 2000. One member in every 519. And 2006, one member in every 430. Amazing. We just came back from camp meeting, flew all night to get here, came from the Upper Columbia Conference. Do you know that there is one to every 74 people in that conference? One Adventist every, and in the Walla Walla area, there's one to every 17. One to every 17, amazing. But look how long that it took the Seventh-day Adventist Church to have growth rates. Look at the growth rates that we had. The first million, it took 107.1 years, from 1848, right after the Great Disappointment, to 1955. Then the second million drops to 14.7 from 1955 to 1970. But let your eyes drop down to the fifth million, 3.3 years from 1983 to 1986. And my friends, my dear Seventh-day Adventist friends and brothers and sisters, since 1986, we add over a million members to the Seventh-day Adventist Church every year. We are not just another church. We are not just another denomination. We are a movement of destiny based on the three angels' message of Revelation 14. And we add, we are over 20 million strong around the world. So when you're here in maybe your small little church, just remember that you're part of a worldwide family of over 20 million strong. And 96% of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is outside of North America. 96%. The gospel is truly going to the entire world. And Seventh-day Adventists have established actually 212, not 202, of the 228 countries of the world listed by the United Nations. The amazing growth rates that we see in the Seventh-day Adventist Church today are the result, though, my friends, of prayers, of sacrifice, committed to the mission of the early pioneers. We are indebted to our early pioneers. It took great sacrifice and prayers to have this movement go forward, and it's going to take great sacrifice and great prayers in the end time to go forward as well. And we can be a part of that great movement. For years, the pioneers of our work, Ellen White says in Testimonies, Volume 9, page 98, that they struggled against poverty and manifold hardships in order to place the cause of present truth on vantage ground. With meager facilities, they labored untiringly, and the Lord blessed their humble efforts. And you know what, my friends? God is blessing your humble efforts. God is blessing our humble efforts. There's no one person that's going to finish the work. There's no one ministry that's going to finish the work. We need It Is Written Television. We were there for 14 years. We believe in it. And we believe in the voice of prophecy. I came into this church through the voice of prophecy, taking lessons at 9 years old. I believe in 3ABN. I believe in Hope Channel. I believe in all the methods that we have. I believe in door-to-door work. But God doesn't have one star evangelist. He doesn't have one star pastor. He doesn't have one star lay member. He has work for all of us. And as we work together, then God will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. And He will bless your humble efforts, whatever they are. That's why I believe in health ministry that I'm going to talk about this afternoon. Because you know why? So many people that feel, I don't have gifts. I don't know what to do. Well, many people have the gift of helps, and believe me, it takes a lot of helps to pull off a health ministry and cooking schools and all the rest. And so God is going to bless those humble efforts. And the message went with power in the East. And where did it extend to? It extended westward and around the world until centers of influence had been established in many places. A center of influence. We have a center of influence right in Virginia, in our little spot, in our little town of Haymarket. I'll tell a little bit about that this afternoon, just before our health presentation. But there'll be centers of influence all around the world. Why did God pour out his Spirit with such power in the early Advent movement? Why? Because they studied the Word of God. And we need to pour our lives and our hearts into the Word of God today. Because they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to have that same kind of prayer going on in our churches today. But we need to witness. We need to share. And whether people are coming to your church for a Bible study or whether they're coming for a health program, this is a witness. And so we want to all take the gospel, just like these early pioneers took it from this little church to around the world. But they realized that they needed to come out of their little spot, of their little place, and they needed to send their first missionary, J.N. Andrews. He went to Switzerland in 1874, and the work began to grow overseas. And will the Holy Spirit, my friends, be poured out in the fullness of heaven's power again? I believe it will. I believe that God is doing something right now through many of our humble ministries. So let me share with you some places in the world that I believe the Holy Spirit is being powerfully poured out as church members become actively involved in witnessing for evangelism. I want to inspire you that the work is going forward, that evangelism is alive today. No one can tell me evangelism doesn't work when I see what God is doing around the world. And for decades, my friends, believers in Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union sought God in prayer for the opportunity to worship him freely. You see, in this country, we have our Bibles. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of prophecy. We have all these things, and we can freely worship. But look, we just returned from Nanjing, China, just a few weeks ago. Amazing what happened there. Amazing. But they don't have the opportunity to openly and freely worship God. But let me share that God is working even in these countries, because I have to just have a side for a moment, because in Nanjing, China, they had been praying that we could come and have a series of meetings. The pastor approached the government. It's a miracle story of their center anyway and their church, but approached, and we had the opportunity by government permission to go and do a series of evangelistic meetings. Because you see, if we go in on a visitor visa, then Pastor Finley would have had to sign that I will not preach. Now, some people have gone in to these places and gone in on a visitor visa and then preached, but that doesn't help our work in these countries. It's better if you can wait until God opens the door, like he did in Russia, like he has been just recently in China. And so we got permission. Now we were waiting for our visas, because they weren't going to be visitor visas. They were going to be visas to go in and preach and teach health and preach the Word of God. So we waited and we prayed and we didn't get them. And so we had to wait and wait and wait. And we waited a long time until one day we got our visas. And if you get a visa to go in and teach and preach anything religious, you would have, or you'd most of the time get only a 20-day visa. I couldn't believe it when I got mine back and I had a 5-month visa. And I said, praise the Lord. But then we looked at Mark's and we took a second look. And we said it must be that the angels wrote over his or something, because he got a 10-year visa. He has a 10-year visa to go in and out of China. And so God is pouring out his Spirit in some of these countries. And let's take a look at what God did in Eastern Europe. You see, a whole nation was changed by prayer. There was a prayer movement that actually brought that wall down. The Berlin Wall came down because of a prayer march, because of a prayer movement. A pastor, a non-Seventh-day Adventist pastor, that knew the only hope for Germany was if God worked through prayer. And so he started in his church in Leipzig, Germany. And he started with just a handful of people praying. And then that grew to 100. Then it grew to 200 and 500. And thousands joined this prayer movement. And as they walked through, those on those towers did not shoot. They didn't shoot those people coming up to that wall because they said, we were ready for anything except for candles and prayer. And they marched through that wall, and that Berlin Wall came down. And God had his hand over the work there. And so when that happened, then these countries, Hungary, Poland, Yugoslavia, opened up. At that time, we were working in the Trans-European Division, and Pastor Finley had three communist countries in our territory, Hungary, Poland, and Yugoslavia. And when that wall came down, he was in Hungary when 100,000 people were marching on the streets, and the door opened up for the gospel. In fact, Pastor Finley preached 120 times in 30 days because the schools opened up, universities opened up, churches opened up. It opened up everywhere, and that wall came down. But let me tell you about Budapest, Hungary, because we just came back last week, or 2 weeks now, I guess, because we've had a camp meeting in between. But just 2 weeks ago, we came back from Budapest, Hungary, and I want to share with you what happened during the communist years and when that Berlin Wall fell, and what happened just last week. It was amazing because when the wall came down and the doors opened up, Pastor Finley was asked to do a series of meetings in Budapest, Hungary. And so they said you can have a meeting, a public meeting, at 5 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. Well, when he got to the auditorium, first of all, his translator came and he was crying. And Mark said to him, Pastor Laszlo, what's the problem? Can I help you? And he said, oh, Pastor Finley, I'm just weeping for joy because I don't know if you realize, but this is the first time in 40 years we've been able to have a series of public evangelistic meetings. And I'm so moved. And so when they got there for the 5 o'clock meeting, they found out that there was a rock band, a famous rock band that was going to actually be in there at 9 o'clock. And so Pastor Finley had a 5 o'clock meeting, a 7 o'clock meeting, and the rock band was going to be in there at 9 o'clock. Well, to say the least, it was disruptive because they were practicing and before the meeting, but finally, through several things, they left, and he had the first meeting. The first meeting went very well. Now the 7 o'clock meeting. But amazing, because the young people began lining up outside for the rock concert. And now we were still to have a 7 o'clock evangelistic meeting. But these young people were lined up thinking that this was for the rock concert. And so when the doors opened, young people by the hundreds flowed in to that meeting, which was an evangelistic meeting. Mark never had so many young people in his meeting ever before. It was amazing. He was feeling a little badly because it was very disruptive. People were sitting everywhere, standing 3 and 4 deep in the balcony and back, and it was very, very difficult. However, there were these girls, these four girls, that came thinking that they were going to a rock concert. They called themselves groupies for this famous rock band, and they traveled and went wherever they were. Three of them worked for the communist government. The other one actually was in the university, Karl Marx University. And so the next, and they were standing way in the back in the balcony, could hardly even see Pastor Finley. However, they heard the message. And they heard him, and it was very disruptive. He was feeling badly because he thought, oh, this is a disaster. I mean, you know, people everywhere. It was confusing. But the message was going through. And the next night, these girls came early, and they sat right in the second row. And so Pastor Finley went to them and asked them how they had come to the meetings. And they said, oh, Pastor Finley, you don't want to know, because we actually weren't coming to your meetings. We were actually coming to the rock concert, and we got thrust in with all these young people. But somehow God touched our heart, and we want to come back. And every single night they came to those meetings. They began studying the Bible. They began taking lessons. They attended every meeting. And at the end of that series, for an entire long period of time, they were baptized. And after their baptism, they began to work in the church. Well, 20 years later from that time, in 2009, it would have been, 2009, we went back for our 20th reunion. And we met, what's her name again? Oh, Helga. And we met her son, and yeah, I forget all their names, but anyway, that was her son, and there are the three girls 20 years later. And we learn that one of the girls married a pastor, and then another girl married a pastor, and that the other one was a Bible instructor. Absolutely amazing. Here they are 20 years later, and we met them. Well, just last, and here I was with these three girls, one a pastor's wife, another a pastor's wife, and a Bible instructor. And so I said, I must take my picture with you and tell the story. Just 2 weeks ago, or two or so weeks ago, we were there in Hungary again, and we learned that one of the pastor's wives, right here, her son is now studying for the ministry. So now he's studying for the ministry. And so amazing what God does, even with the disturbance of a rock concert. So God is on the move. And then the Kremlin. I could tell you so many stories about the meetings in the Kremlin. When we were at It Is Written in 91, 92, and 93, we had meetings in Moscow, Russia. We had meetings in the Plahana University. We had meetings in the Kremlin Auditorium. We had meetings in the Olympic Stadium. And some of you who were It Is Written partners heard some of those stories, but you haven't maybe heard the rest of the story, because we went back again to see what God was doing. They wanted us to come back. And when we went to Russia, to Moscow, we only had one church in the center of the city. But at the end of those meetings in the Plahana University, in the Kremlin Auditorium, in the Olympic Stadium, we had 13 churches. And so we shared with our It Is Written partners even how God had blessed, and how we have now 13 churches that were raised up. And who would ever think that Pastor Finley would be able to preach for almost a month in the Kremlin Auditorium? I mean, one of the most beautiful government auditoriums in the world. And every night as people came, they actually had to pay for the meetings to come. They had to buy a seat. They had to go down to the kiosk and pay to buy a seat in the Kremlin. It seats 6,500 people, and we had double sessions every night. 13,000 people. It was absolutely amazing, and never was there a seat empty, because if someone didn't show up in that seat, they resold that seat. And it was fine at the beginning for selling seats because the ruble to the dollar was approximately $1 to 1 ruble. However, at the end of the series, they were no longer selling them for $1. They were selling them for what was equivalent to $1,000. But people were saying, I will sell my bicycles, I'll sell whatever I have to come to those evangelistic meetings. And here in North America, we have free evangelistic meetings. And where are our people? Where are we? Let's support our pastors. Let's support our evangelists. Let's support those lay members that are doing evangelistic meetings, because that's where the power is, my friends. The gospel is going to be finished. Well, just a while ago, we went back to Moscow, Russia, for another reunion. And we said to them, what has happened? We want to know. We had 13 churches. In fact, we told our It Is Written partners that we had now 13 churches, and some of them even 500 members. I mean, God was blessing 300, 400, 500 members in these churches. And they said, no, we no longer have 13 churches. And so my heart fell a little bit. I thought, oh, what has happened? Has the work stopped? What has happened? And they said, no, Sister Finley, we don't have 13 churches. We now have 26 churches. And we had to even meet several times in the Plahana church, because after that series of meetings, Pastor Finley urged them, please buy a building, buy some property. This is the time to get some property. And they bought the Plahana, a place for the Plahana church. Now in that church, I think how many groups? Three different churches meet in that one church. They meet one time in the morning, they meet one time in the afternoon, and one time twice in the morning, and then again in the afternoon. And so we urge them to buy this property. And now, as you well know, there are struggles for even preaching the gospel in Russia. And we have a challenge even to buy properties. And so I know, I have no question, that God opened the door when we were in there in 1991, 1992, and 1993. And now we have 26 churches. The work will be very difficult there. They'll have to possibly share their faith underground. Who knows all that's going to happen? But it looks like the door is fast closing for any public proclamation. And so those of you that gave for those years in Russia, all I can say is thank you, because I know God opened up that door for those meetings at that time. And what your finances went for will be forever known throughout all eternity. And so God blessed in those meetings in the Kremlin Auditorium. We had hundreds of baptisms. But let me tell you about the Ukraine. We went to the Ukraine, and it was not easy in the cultural center, in this beautiful building in the Ukraine, because Nikita Khrushchev in the 50s stood on this platform and he said, in 25 years there will not be another Christian. Oh, ho, ho, he laughed and chuckled. Yes, there will be another Christian, but he will be in a museum stuffed so everyone can see what a Christian looked like. Well, I'm here to tell you that much more than 25 years later, Pastor Finley and Pastor Kulikov stood on that same platform and preached the three angels' message of Revelation 14 and the gospel of Jesus Christ. God blessed in unusual ways in the auditorium there. Is my microphone on? as they preach night after night as Pastor Finley and Peter. And we just saw Peter at the camp meeting at Upper Columbia, and we were reminiscing about some of these powerful things that God did in the former Soviet Union. The crowds, the place was crowded. It was packed to overflowing as people came night after night. And it was satellited all across the 13 time zones of Russia and even into the prisons. In fact, we visited this prison as Pastor Finley preached here in the prison, because one of the prisons that it was being satellited into was the very prison that Elder Kulikov Sr. was imprisoned for his faith. And he was just shedding tears of joy as he thought, the very prison where I spent many years because of my faith, now the gospel of Jesus Christ is going right into that prison. We met with those prisoners, and hundreds. Look at the picture of some of these people who were baptized in that series. Hundreds of them in the Ukraine came to Jesus Christ. Do I think that evangelism works today, my friends? I believe it is alive and well. And in Africa, what God did in Ghana, Africa, was amazing. As people came night after night, and we've been since then, we've been Rwanda, we've been to many of these other places, Kumasi, Ghana, here. And God blessed enormously as hundreds and hundreds were baptized, as people came forward and actually knelt in the mud making decisions as it was raining like it is here today. And yet people came forward. And India, I can't begin to tell you what is happening in India as we were welcomed there. They gave us a special welcome as we came. But I want to share with you that when you have an opportunity to preach the gospel and give for the furtherance of the gospel, give it now, because we don't know what will happen. Because our church in India has grown from approximately 300 members 7 years ago to over 300,000 to over 1,500,000 today. And people came. In fact, we were still at It Is Written when some of you may have heard this story, but you haven't heard what has happened since and how it is so important to give while you can, because people came night after night. They poured in and out of the meetings in India. We told them we would give at least 10 to 15 years to India, and night after night in Chennai, India, Pastor Finley and his translator preached. This was in the year 2007, and people came. Not only was the auditorium inside packed and the balcony packed, but they had to put speakers outside because the outside was packed as well. But through the preaching of God's word in the last 15 years, we went from 12 churches to 750 members in Greater Chennai to over 150. Actually, the latest report we have is probably 172 churches with well over 25,000 even members in Greater Chennai. And night after night as we preach, some of you gave for the building of churches there in Chennai, and many churches, brick churches, stone churches, some churches even on the roofs of buildings were built. And so the work in Chennai went forward. Hindus were becoming Christians. They're accepting the three angels' message of Revelation 14. And as hundreds of them came, God blessed. But just this last year, my husband and I were supposed to go back to Chennai. We waited weeks, we waited months to get our visa. And I should have put up the most recent picture. They had advertised these meetings. We thought we were going to be able to go back. And we did not get our visa. And then after the meetings were over, then they decided they would give us our visa. And so and it was very short so that we couldn't go back in. And so my friends, when we have an opportunity to give, that may be the time, because there may be other times that close up. And we know for us, and I don't know if it will be in the future, that they still want us to come. So we're still praying. If it is God's will, we could go back, but they would not allow us to come back. Just this last year, we waited and waited. But then I look at the positive of Nanjing, China, and what God is doing there. But they did not come in India without difficulty and hardship, even at that time. Posters were put up about our health meetings. Posters were put up about our evangelistic meetings. And one day, the pastor came in. He had a bloody nose. He had a black eye. And we asked, "Pastor, what happened?" And he said, "Oh, they beat me up. The Hindus beat me up as I was putting up the posters. But Pastor, don't worry. I went in the middle of the night and put them up." And so it's not without difficulty, not without hardships, that the work is going forward. Many are being baptized, some secretly, some businessmen secretly. My friends, we have no idea in this country. We can baptize openly. We can study openly. We have a privilege in this country. Why not spread the gospel now? Soon it might be too late. And whole families, this was a whole family of Hindus that came while we were there at our evangelistic meetings. And God is reaching, my friends, kings and queens. This is the king and the queen of the Zulus on each side of us. Now, the king of the Zulus has 40 million people under him. He's a Harvard University graduate. He is very educated. They have 7 palaces. To tell you the power of the gospel, it was amazing. We were in Wits University. Pastor Finley was preaching in Wits University, but he told them, "I don't want to just preach to the whites over at Wits," because you had the problem in South Africa of the blacks, the whites, the coloreds, and he was trying to bring them together. So he said, "I want to preach in Soweto as well. The blacks will not come over to Wits. I must preach in Soweto." So we pitched a tent, and we were preaching in Soweto as well, which is where the blacks would come. And night after night, he was preaching in Wits, but he couldn't preach on Monday night in Wits because he was over in Soweto. And so the queen was actually watching by satellite the meetings. And on one night, she called the pastor and said, "I don't see Pastor Finley. How come I couldn't get him on Monday night?" And they said, "Queen, Your Royal Highness, Pastor Finley doesn't preach there on Monday night because he's preaching over in Soweto." And so then she watched all the other nights, and she studied the Bible with the pastor. There's a whole story, which I don't have time to tell, on how she even learned about Seventh-day Adventists. But anyway, one day she made her decision to be baptized, and the queen was baptized. Well, since then, some of you may have heard some of that story, but since then, her son, the prince, has just been baptized. And so God is reaching, my friends, kings. He's reaching queens around the world. He's reaching people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because soon Jesus is to come. This is not a soccer game. This is not a football game. This is an entire stadium of an evangelistic meeting in Peru. God is reaching and going everywhere, my friends. This is the largest Seventh-day Adventist church in the world, in Shenyang, China. Some of you, again, who may have been It Is Written partners, heard the story about Shenyang, China, and how we have 6,000 members. But just a few months ago, when we were in Nanjing, China, we learned that they no longer have 6,000. We had 30 representatives from Nanjing, from Shenyang, that came to Nanjing, and young people that wanted to hear the gospel live with Pastor Finley right there and hear the health message. We were able to preach the health message every day, and it was exciting. And we said to them, you know, we're so excited about your church. You have beautiful, wonderful choirs. You have all this going on in your church, 6,000 members. They said, oh, Sister Finley, we don't have 6,000 members anymore. You don't have 6,000 anymore? What's happening? What happened? No, Sister Finley, we have 8,000 members. God is working. I tell you, there's a whole story of Nanjing, a miracle story of how the pastor got that church. But I must just take a couple of minutes to tell you how bold, like the disciples were, our pastors and others, lay people, need to be today for Jesus. We said to the pastor, how did you get this beautiful? And we just came back from there, so I don't even have a picture of it. We have it on our iPhones, but we have a picture of the beautiful church in Nanjing. How did this happen in the middle of a city to have a beautiful Seventh-day Adventist church that's a whole center of influence, where you have a training school, where you have people staying? There were 100 people sleeping in that church overnight during our meetings. They were feeding people every day. How many meals? 18,000 meals during that time when we were there. People were coming. It was unbelievable. And we said, Pastor, how did this happen? He said, well, it's a long story, but he briefly told it. And he said, basically, through prayer. And he said, I prayed. I said to the government, I want that property that was taken away from us over 40 years ago. You see, because when communism came in, they took our churches, they took our schools, they took our hospitals, they took our seminary, they took everything. We went and visited the seminary, which we still don't have back. But he said, I believe, as I've been praying, that God wants that property. They knocked down our church there in Nanjing, and they were going to put up some high-rises, some buildings, some offices, some other things, and use that beautiful place in the city. And he went to the government and he said, God told me that that was his property and he wants it back. And I thought, wow, that's pretty bold. Well, they thought he was crazy and they said no. He went there again and he said, God showed me that this is his property and he wants it back. And again, they said no. He went the third time, and he was doing many programs and trying to reach people in that city. Well, by the third time, he told them, I want to tell you that this was God's property, it is God's property, and God wants it back, and he's going to bless you if you give it back to him. And they finally said, what do you want? And they said, we want a church in the center of Nanjing, a Seventh-day Adventist church. He got the property, they gave it to him free, and they built this beautiful church. And we were just there, and Pastor Finley, for the first time, had public evangelistic meetings in Nanjing, with the place packed every single night. I think there were like over 1,000 that they packed in there. It was just incredible. God is on the move. He's doing something, my friends. And what about Cuba? You think there's never going to be an opening in Cuba. They were having the 50th anniversary of the revolution in Cuba, and they said we could hold meetings. We were excited. We were going to Cuba. We met with these government officials. I bonded with these ladies. For some reason, we were talking about the health message and the health work. It was truly an entering wedge, and we bonded with them. But when we came to the end of the meeting, they said, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Finley, we're so sorry, but we're not going to give you the building for a public series of meetings. But you can have it in your Seventh-day Adventist church. Well, there's no Seventh-day Adventist church that's large enough in Cuba to have a meeting with several people. And so our pastors were disappointed. They began to pray. Here's an actual picture of those pastors. I have to admit that I did take a picture during prayer, but I knew that it would be powerful, a powerful story later. They prayed. They would not get up from their knees until God made it clear that they were to have a meeting in Cuba. And so they prayed for long periods of time, a long time. I don't even remember how long, but all I can tell you is during prayer, the union president got a call from the government officials and said, we just wanted to tell you that we had a change of plans, a change of heart, whatever you want to call it. They had a change, and we're now going to give you this building. And they were going to give us a beautiful building there in China. The pastors stood up, and I mean in Cuba, and they stood up. And they sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. They were so excited because they had given us this beautiful building, this stadium, and they gave it to us free. It was amazing. And they came by the truckloads. They didn't even have time to try and tell people, but everybody went everywhere. You talk about being a witness. Every single person was a witness. Everybody was witnessing. Come to these meetings. It's just going to be exciting. You're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And they came by the truckloads. They had these trucks and came literally by the truckloads. My little camera just wouldn't take the picture of what it was really like. Around this whole stadium were people packed in, standing everywhere. It was amazing. And for the very first time in Cuba, my friends, here are the pastors, so excited, having a baptism for the very first time, a central baptism after the evangelistic meetings in Cuba. Is God on the move? Is God doing something? I have no question about it. And God's work is going to be finished. He will empower pastors. He will empower lay people to proclaim his last day message. And Welfare Ministry, page 72, let's read it together. If every church member had sought to enlighten others, thousands upon thousands would today stand with God's commandment-keeping people. That's not only, my friends, in Cuba, in China, in Russia, in India, in all of these other places. It's right here at home. God is going to empower our members and our pastors right here in West Virginia. There are people and souls that are on the verge of the kingdom waiting to be gathered in. And he is going to empower you to keep, to have the gospel go forward. We are told in Gospel Workers 3:52 that the work of God on earth will never be finished until men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with ministers and church officers. We need to, as lay members, rally to the task, join hands with the ministry, with the church offices, and do something great for God right here and now, my friends. Now is not the time to be disunified. Now is the time to be unified. Well, you see, we are fighting the enemy. We are fighting Satan, not one another. We need to be together, unified together. Now is the time. Revelation 14:6 says, let's read it. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. God says it is going to go to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And that means right here in West Virginia. That means right here in our homeland. You see, the Holy Spirit is being poured out once again, and thousands are being converted, and soon the work will be finished. The three angels' message of Revelation 14 has been going around the world with great power, my friends, and it's time for the message to go forth right where we are, right where we are today. And let's read that it is going to happen among servants of God. Let's read Great Controversy 6:12 together. Servants of God, with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration, will hasten from place to proclaim the message from heaven. Who's going to proclaim the message? Servants of God, and their faces are going to be lighted up with the holy consecration of the Holy Spirit. Let's continue. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought. The sick will be healed. And signs and wonders will follow the believers. My friends, thousands of voices. Did God's servant see you in vision? Did she see you? She saw by thousands of voices all over the world. They were proclaiming the message. Did she see you going from place to place right here in West Virginia? I don't know who she saw, but she saw people, and she saw hundreds and thousands of voices proclaiming the message. You see, God's final pronouncement will be made. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. Hunger and heartache are over. It is finished. Disaster, disease, and death are over. It is finished, my friends. Poverty and pain are over. It is finished. Sickness and sorrow and suffering are over. It is finished. Tears and turmoil are over. There are tears everywhere, turmoil everywhere, death everywhere, but it is one day going to be over. War and weariness and worry are over. Jesus is going to stream down through the corridors of the sky, and he is going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." He is going to say, as he streams down through the corridors of the sky, "It is finished." There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There's no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. On one side march the forces of evil, all the demons and the devils of hell. On the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished." Let's read it together. It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. My friends, it is finished. The battle is over. And one day soon, our Lord, Jesus Christ, is going to stream through the corridors of the sky. And he is going to say, and you are going, and I are going to look up and say, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us." May that be the prayer of each one of us. And may we play a role, a part in the finishing of the work as we get involved in some kind of ministry right here and now in this conference, whatever that is. We're going to talk about health ministry this afternoon. But whatever that is, Bible study ministry, health ministry, small group ministry, home group ministries, whatever it is, may each one of us be faithful until Jesus comes. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you that you are coming and coming soon. We want to get out of this world. We don't like it. We want to be with you through all eternity. So may each one of us be faithful to the end. May we do our part in sharing the good news of the gospel, and we will give you all the glory and the praise because we love you and we want to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.